Hi, I'm Marty.
I'm Dave.
I'm John.
I'm Aaron.
And this is Door 14 Hockey. Hello and welcome to the first of what we're calling two special edition episodes of the Door 14 Hockey Podcast, titling these the Playoff Pods. This is part one of the two episodes. First off, hello boys, I'm back. Thank you so much, first of all, for giving me the paternity leave that I needed over the last two podcasts. So thank you very much for that. John, thank you so much for taking hosting responsibilities and steering the ship. You've done a great job. You put me to shame, and I'm not going to lie. So I've had to up my game for this week because, yeah, I've had to put in a few extra little bits and pieces that when I was watching yours, I was like, oh, he's making me look bad here. So, but yes, thank you so much for stepping in.
Not at all. It's lovely to have you back, Daddy. I'm probably not going to call you Dad. I'm not going to call you Daddy
anymore. Is that the first time you've called him Daddy?
Probably not.
That was a bit strange. But yes, and I officially have someone who calls me Dad or Daddy. Which is weird.
You also have a son, though.
So he doesn't really call me that. I do have a son. Yeah. I'm officially a dad, which is lovely.
Obviously, we're going to give Aaron 10 seconds in a second to tell us how he's getting on and all the rest of it, but let's go to you first, Marty.
Yes, this is my
How are you, and how has the last few weeks been?
Yeah, I'm good. Pretty working on delirium probably right now. Probably like any new parent, a lot of just catching hours when you can. So 3 hours last night is I feel energized for 3 hours. But no, great. Just nothing beats that newborn, cuddling with the newborn and stuff, and it's just been lovely so far. So here's to more weeks of that and more adventures as a new parent. But yes, it's been good.
That's it. You've got a long summer ahead, and fingers crossed, with a new season, the 2024-25 season, will come a new fan in the stands in Flynn.
That's it. Yeah. We've got a new Belfast Giants fan. He has no option in that. But we have a new fan who'll be in the stands, hopefully with me at the start of next season. We've kind of agreed Sunday games at least, at the very minimum, more child friendly. But yeah, looking forward to it. Can't wait to introduce him to a live game. But we're going to watch the game webcast this weekend because I won't be at the arena, unfortunately, this coming weekend, which we're about to get on to.
Understandable.
So we'll watch on the webcast, and yeah, you'll get his first taste of Belfast Giants hockey coming this weekend. Boys, apart from me and my news, how's you guys doing? It's been a while. John, how are you?
I'm good. Work has been busy. I've been very chilled out actually today because I knew that you were coming back, so I didn't have to come in and panically do all the setup. So I'm very glad to have the host with the most back for the special, fingers crossed, the last few podcasts of the season.
And Aaron, how are you?
Just the same, buddy. Glad to see you back, to be honest with you. Not that he was all right. He's fine.
I'm going to put that in my LinkedIn. Occasional co-host of the Door 14 Hockey Podcast. A quote from Aaron. He's fine.
He's grand, but it's good to see you back. I wasn't sure that you were back at all for the rest of the season. I thought you were coming back next season, so it's a nice surprise to get you back, buddy.
Yeah, no, I thought I would jump on and join in the conversations. I did listen into the last two podcasts, obviously, and just catch up on things. But it'd be nice to kind of just have a bit of thoughts and opinions on some things from now that we're at the end of officially the end of the Elite Ice Hockey. The Elite Ice Hockey League. My brain is not working clearly today. We've come to the end of the league,
baby brain,
this season. So let's get stuck into that. This is going to be a quick podcast. We're just our focus in this podcast is basically just to look at the upcoming quarterfinals this coming weekend in the Elite League. The standings, I suppose, the last weekend of play for the Elite League happened this past weekend. Everything kind of then cemented into place. We now know we knew who finished top because obviously Sheffield won it a couple of weeks back. But we now know who ended at the bottom, who got this final playoff spot. So I know last weekend, John, and after the last podcast, you were talking in the last podcast about, who will grab those last spots, what's it going to look like? And now we know exactly what that is. So let's take a look at that. Obviously, finishing off on those last spots, we have you know, we have the final eight, shall we say, for this quarter final playoff this coming weekend. We have the Sheffield Steelers, who obviously took the league and won the league this season. We have the Cardiff Devils, who finished second. Belfast Giants finishing third. Manchester Storm had a fantastic run there towards the end of the season, putting together a really, really, really good run of form, coming in a fourth and beating the Guildford Flames there for that spot. Guildford Flames finishing in fifth. We have the Coventry Blaze finishing in sixth. Dundee Stars finished seventh. Fife Flyers finished eighth for that last playoff spot, while the Nottingham Panthers finished ninth and the Glasgow Clan held up at the bottom of the table in 10th place. We'll come back to the Glasgow Clan in a couple of minutes, guys, if that's okay, because it was an interesting statement put out just following that 10th place finish. Heavily contested for that last few spots in the playoffs. I know you guys talked about it, but what's your thoughts and feelings on that? John, let's go with you first.
First and foremost, I think it was heartbreaking. I think the way that the season ended for the Panthers, they got the win. It was an overtime win that they were looking for on the final day, and they were at the mercy of other results. And much in the same way that I was for my hopes of watching any playoff hockey this season, the hope was that Dundee or Coventry fell at the final hurdle, and that would have made all the difference for the Nottingham Panthers. Unfortunately, it didn't go that way, and they finished in ninth. And you don't often say they finished in a respectable ninth, but given the season that's just passed and what that team and what that squad have gone through, that is an incredibly respectable ninth place for that team to finish in. And they should be incredibly proud as an organisation for how they've managed this season, and for coming where they've come, and for just completing the season. In all honesty, I think back with what happened to Adam Johnson, it would have been very easy for the Nottingham Panthers not to play for the rest of the season, for that group of guys to just say, we'll come back next season. But they didn't. They did themselves, their fans, and they did Adam proud by continuing on, and massive stick tats to that organisation for this last season. Well done.
I wholeheartedly agree with what you said there. 100%. Panthers really did show spirit this year. They showed real just that real kind of passion for the game, continuing on and just kind of doing the best and making the best of what they could for this season. And fair play to them all. And also the fans to just kind of, you know, provide that support ongoing throughout this season. And understandably, you know, any other season, you know, we'd probably have the fans of the Nottingham Panthers really pretty frustrated about the fact that, you know, that the team didn't make it there. And we'd also have other fans from around the league maybe slightly gloating about the fact that the Panthers weren't there for the big final weekend. But we all know, understand what happened, and we all are behind the team in relation to kind of just how they've jumped, how they've, you know, continued this season, and showed real true spirit in that. So, you know, fair play to them, and just disappointing that they couldn't get to that last, you know, as you said, John, you know, reach that last hurdle and get that last playoff spot. Just didn't go their way in some ways this past weekend. Aaron, your thoughts, you know, after your, you know, you guys were talking about it last week.
Yeah, of course, the thoughts of Nottingham there, but John, remind me, was it last podcast or was one of the podcasts that we had four Scottish teams in the ability to play, go to the playoffs? Am I remembering that incorrect?
So there was the season where we had 11 teams in the league.
I'm talking about the last couple of weeks. Did we not? Was Glasgow?
Well, it'd be really hard for it to be four, bud, because there's only three.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah, there was potential, but the clan. Once the Flyers secured their spot on, I think it was the second last night, was it the Saturday? The Flyers secured their position, and really then it was just about where they finished. That really did it for the clan. I think the clan were actually eliminated on Saturday. So regardless of results from Sunday, they were never making playoffs. After the Flyers secured their spot, it was down to then Dundee, Coventry and Nottingham about who was going to take the last two spots. And one of them, unfortunately, in this case, it being Nottingham, had to miss out.
Yeah. I just remember being a conversation about all three Scottish teams going to playoffs recently.
Let's have a quick
change.
Just mentioning the Glasgow Clan, they're obviously, you know, finishing in the bottom of the league. I alluded to the fact that there was a statement put out this past week following that result last weekend from the Michael O'Rourke and the Glasgow Clan board. I just want to kind of go through a tiny bit of that, just to kind of highlight just the statement that was put out for anybody who hadn't seen it. Following the extremely disappointing 10th place finish and failure to make the playoffs for only the second time in the club's history, the Glasgow Clan would like to issue the following statement in light of the 2023-2024 season. Firstly and most importantly, we'd like to thank the whole of the Purple Army for all your outstanding support during the past 8 months. We appreciate your continue to stick with us through the ups and downs. The fact that we have...
Smarty's disappeared, so I'll jump in. I don't have that statement, but I know that they said that effectively the 10th place finish was unacceptable. They weren't going to roll over and try to make excuses and say that it was okay. Marty, you're back. Have you got the rest of the statement there?
I do. Anthony,
I'm just, before you even start again, Anthony, quick off the mark as always. The statement was so bad, Marty left. There's plenty of Glasgow fans wishing that because of how bad that statement was, some other people left Glasgow.
I said to you boys, whenever I was coming on, before you came live, I said to you guys, I bet you everything will go wrong tonight because it's been so long since I've done the podcast. I bet you, I guarantee technical issues, everything. So there just shows exactly what I thought was going to happen and happened. So just continuing on with what we're saying, basically what they were saying after that was a long-term vision is in place for the organization, and while success will take progress year on year, it must be bold and steady. Despite investing heavily in the club with our biggest ever playing budget, finishing bottom of the elite league was not in the script for this season, and everyone connected with the clan fully acknowledges that this is unacceptable. It's not where we expect to be, and it falls way short of where we have our sights for this club. For that, we apologise. There's no doubt that it's been a challenge to bring success to Brayhead Arena, but we believe the full commitment and focus is evident all around the club and arena itself. All of this is directed at driving winning on ice performances, which is rightly and ultimately how we will be judged. More information will follow in the near future, including dates of an open Q&A, blah, 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 blah. I mean, they were quick to jump in following the completion of the season to kind of, I suppose, dampen down the fire that was starting among maybe the club's own supporters. Quick response, what's your thoughts on that, John?
If that was the plan, it backfired massively. To have a statement like that prepared, now granted you could prepare something like that in 5 minutes, but it feels like that was very much, they were ready to fire that out. And there was as soon as they were eliminated, there was a lot of talk on social media. I've talked a lot on the podcast over the last few years about how Glasgow are the eternal underachievers of the elite league. But to finish 10th is just on a different scale. To finish below their Scottish counterparts is, I would honestly say, and I love the Flyers, I love the Stars, I love those organisations, but that, from a Glasgow perspective, is unacceptable. They are, let's call them, in inverted commas, arena team. They play out of an arena rather than a rink. They have a much bigger budget than those other two squads. So to end where they have and to capitulate so badly through this season is just horrendous.
Could they have said anything in that statement, though? Like you were saying about them, of course they're going to be prepared. Of course, like the whole season, it's been borderline there, and of course they ended up.
Let's take a point in the comments on this, and Anthony is 100% right to take the mic here. Please be assured we're going to do things better, and then they release their playoff T-shirt when they didn't even make the playoffs. It's a nonsense. Like they called them a playoff shirt or playoff T-shirt, and the entire point of that was that the Glasgow Clan fans like to set a theme when they go to playoffs. Totally acceptable. A lot of what we have now as pride comes from Glasgow Clan fans making a fairly bold statement at playoffs a few years ago. But they set the theme. But for the organisation to come out and say, here's our themed T-shirt for playoffs, your team's not going. Like, wind your neck in a little bit. And one of the best comments I saw was, nowhere on that shirt does it say playoffs. So why not if you've already produced them, yes, there's production costs and everything. Hold on to it. Do a country and western night next season and sell them then, rather than making absolute fools of yourself later on at that point. It's just, I don't know.
Did you
realize that organization have a lot of issues that they need to iron out over the summer?
One question I was thinking about is that I appreciate that they've released a statement. I didn't know that this was their what did they say? Their biggest ever playing budget. Did you know that?
Yep.
Is that shit? Did you know that? Well, I didn't know that.
I guess we didn't
officially know that.
Yes.
I suppose we didn't officially know that, but I think whenever it came to the start of the season, whenever the takeover and the buy, when it was bought over and the ownership took lead for the clan this season, I think there was kind of not rumours, but I suppose there was a lot of mumblings from different people and different sources to say that they had spent big this year.
Michael O'Rourke was not going to buy that club and not put money into it. So that's exactly what he did. And yes, it is the organization's biggest playing budget. Their biggest problem is not their players. It's their coaching at this point. For one of the first announcements to come out to be your assistant coach is leaving, rather than confirming what's happening with your head coach, when a lot of the fan base are out for Morgan's blood. That's a bigger issue right now, and they still haven't confirmed anything one way or the other. So that needs addressed sooner than putting out a playoff shirt when you're not even going.
Let's talk about the teams that are going. John, do you want to throw up the next image there for us, please? That's okay. Obviously, there are the playoffs have been set, and the teams playing which team have also been set. So we now know who playing who this coming weekend in the quarterfinals. The Sheffield Steelers will take on the Fife Flyers. The Cardiff Devils will take on the Dundee Stars. The Belfast Giants will take on Coventry, and the Manchester Storm will take on the Guildford Flames. For anybody who is new to the playoff format in the UK or is listening from across the pond, we do have some fans in Buffalo who listen in quite often, which is, it's constantly there. And for anybody from the US who doesn't understand the playoff format here in the UK, it's especially a knockout tournament. It's not like the playoffs style in the States, like the Stanley Cup. We'll have two games, home and away. Best of both those games, we'll advance on to the semi-finals, which is
it's an aggregate score.
Oh, aggregate score. Sorry, yeah, good point. So let's look at those matchups, guys, and see what your thoughts and opinions are on who's going to take which game, and see if there's any surprises out there. I'm going to guess we're probably all going to be on the same one. Maybe just for one game would be a bit of a divisive one where we'll have to make a decision. Maybe we'll have different opinions on one of the games. But I think for the first three lineup matchups, I think we're probably quite similar. Let's go with the first one. The Sheffield Steelers take on the Fife Flyers. John, who do you have for that round?
My heart says Fife. And I've had a few discussions with people here in Fife about this week, about the position that the Flyers find themselves in. I want to throw this comment up from Patrick over on YouTube. Felt like Fife was the most impressive Scottish team this year, in his opinion. 100% I'm with you. It should have been the Clan, but it wasn't. A couple of ropey moments through the season, but Tom Cullen has weaved some magic in Kirkcaldy. Now we've seen, not that Tom Cullen knows this, but did you know that the Flyers reached the Challenge Cup final last season? Apparently nobody told Tom that when he took the job. But when I look at these matchups, when you look at a massive potential banana skin for any of the, let's call them the big three, this to me looks like the biggest one, because Sheffield have got two out of three trophies at this point. They are the team that could go in with a sense of entitlement. People could have expected it from us last season, the Belfast Giants, going in ready to complete the Grand Slam like we did. We didn't, we saw it through. But that's the position that the Sheffield Steelers now find themselves in. Now, it's a little bit more suspect than that, because it's not just entirely straightforward. The Sheffield Steelers don't have their arena. for their home game. They're playing their home game at Ice Sheffield. Because of that, they have not released any away tickets. They have completely sold out the arena with home fans. Let's be critical about that right now. That's wrong.
That's
entirely wrong. There is massively absolutely wrong. No way that you should not have an away section at a game like this. This is playoffs. This is two games to go through to the playoff final weekend. The fact that the Elite League haven't stepped in and made sure that even standing tickets should have been made available for Fife Flyers fans. Like, it's absolutely horrendous. What the Flyers should be doing in response is trying to sell out their barn to home fans or making it twice the price for away fans to come up.
I mean, if you think, like, I'm just thinking, yeah, the thought process behind that would probably be, well, Fife probably aren't going to bring a lot of fans down, but even if you're going to have a full busload down the motorway, you know, a 52-seat bus.
A full busload is still 50 or 60 people.
52. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Going down.
There should be an option there for fans to be, for the away fans to have access to the game. It's baffling.
What's the count of the stadium they're in or the arena they're in?
I think it's probably about two and a half thousand, something like that for Ice Sheffield.
Oh, come on. 50 or 60 people, 100 people, could have been no bother.
But the problem is, and where the rub comes, and I can see the point of view of the Sheffield Steelers, is they are two out of three trophies. They are selling out 9,000 plus seats for home games. Yeah. Of that, for those last few away, or for those last few home games, a few hundred are probably away fans. So they're having to limit, and this is through poor planning, like, on their part. Realistically, a band, take that, have taken over the arena. Surely the Flyers should just get a 5-0 victory in Sheffield then, if they can't play in their arena. I seem to remember the Elite League chairman doing some chirping about bands and points being awarded to teams when games couldn't be played. Now, granted, the game can be played this time, but it's still a big issue. Actually, Fuzz, I'm completely there with you. I absolutely love this idea. Be the bigger person. Let them have one away fan. Absolutely. I am here for that. One orange shirt in a sea of blue and white. I would be here for that. Absolutely. But that's all I'm going to say on that one. Let's say, my heart says Fife. I'd love to see them do it, because I'd love to see them roll the Steelers again in a knockout competition. I think it'd be fantastic. If the Flyers do that, if they put the Steelers out, I'll put money on them to win the playoffs.
That's bold, but yeah, I would. If Fife put Sheffield out, I would agree. If Fife put Sheffield out, I'll definitely put something on that too, because that's massive. It has been done before, as you say, Challenge Cup last year, but different team this year. I don't know. I just can't see Sheffield. I just can't see past Sheffield advancing on to the semi-finals, to be fair. I think this is Sheffield's round to take. Aaron, your thoughts?
Exactly. I wish I had John's enthusiasm for Fife, because it would be awesome. But looking back at their last, like, the last six head-to-heads that they've had, Sheffield have taken five of them.
But I suppose that's
playoffs, when
you're looking at,
and they have won.
Sorry,
one.
Go ahead.
They won in, like, they did win one game back in January, so it can be done. But I think
I was just about to say, Sheffield. If you look at the stats, you know, if we're going to just base it on stats alone, then yeah, this is probably where stats kind of would show maybe teams do become a bit complacent, just think, it's a walkover, we've got this one. So stranger things have happened. Let's move on to the next matchup, which is the Cardiff Devils versus the Dundee Stars. Aaron, well, let's go with you first. Cardiff versus Dundee, how do you feel that one's going to fall?
I'm going to go stats again. Have Dundee beat Cardiff at all this season? No. Unfortunately not. It's been a 6-0, six games played. Cardiff won every single one of them. Unfortunately, them's the stats that I'm going to go with. So Cardiff is who I'm going with for that one.
John, your thoughts on that one?
I can't really argue with that one. Dundee, while they managed to come good at the end, and I think the positions, I think with them, what did they end up, seventh? I would still argue that the Flyers are a stronger team. They had a bigger, dull period in the middle of the season, unfortunately. Cardiff, I think, are going to be too strong. I think they take that fairly comfortably, and I reckon they probably win both legs, both the home and away leg.
I had to go back to I had to go back to December 2022 to see Dundee beat Cardiff.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you on that one. I think that one's a clear one. I know I said the Sheffield one. I kind of feel like Sheffield will take that one on easy, but I think Cardiff have this one. I think we'll see the Cardiff Devils in that semi-final. So the semi-final could look like the Sheffield Steelers take on the Cardiff Devils in that first semi-final. I think that's the way it's going to be, isn't it? The winner of those two will face off against each other. Moving on to the next matchup will be the Belfast Giants versus the Coventry Blaze. The Belfast Giants having a good run of form there, coming towards the end of the season, putting together a good number of wins. Obviously, that weekend against that doubleheader weekend against Sheffield Steelers this past weekend was a one win, one loss. Overtime, I think that was one of the games, the first game. But good form so far towards the end of the season. Will they continue on, do you feel, coming into the playoffs? Obviously, as Belfast Giants fans, we kind of want to feel that they will continue that form. They have something to prove, having had a very difficult season. Is this the one trophy that Adam Keefe will be trying to change his season around, John?
Yeah, Giants have been gunning for playoffs since probably late January. It's been all about damage and injury limitation. This has been a season the Giants have suffered badly with injury, hence the position that we've ended up in, sitting in third in the league, out early in the Challenge Cup and put out by Coventry. So there's pride to play with, not just the playoffs in this game, this series, a series of two. This, I think, is, with the exception of the next tie that we're going to talk about, I think this is the tightest tie. Coventry have time and time again proved themselves as a postseason team. We know what Danny Stewart is capable of. We know how he can coach a postseason team. And they are a decent outfit in Coventry. The only thing has been that late season slide where they really almost missed out on playoffs. Like, forget the fact that they've ended in sixth. They nearly ended up in ninth or tenth, but for the one or two results, and results from other teams as well, from other matchups going their way, helped them to scrape into playoffs. That's the reality. Does that get their blood up? Probably, but it'll be tasty.
I mean, if you're looking at stats, Aaron, I know you were talking about stats there, and you like a good stat, and kind of basing your opinions on the stats, which is a good way to go. If we look at the Coventry Blaze stats for this past season, I mean, they're probably the one. There's only two teams. We'll take Nottingham Panthers out of that because it's not fair, obviously, given what happened with their. So we'll give them a bye ball in some ways for this bit. But there's only two teams that had poor form throughout the season, worst form, shall we say, in the league, and that is the Coventry Blaze and the Dundee Stars. Coventry Blaze haven't lost 25 games out of the season, out of this 54 games. And overtime losses at six of those games. The only one closest to that would be the Dundee Stars, who also had lost 25 games out of this 54 this year. So, you know, it's been a tough season for them in terms of their loss percentages. Do you see anything else? Do you see any other way? Do you think Coventry, I know John mentioned there that Coventry does tend to be a team that tends to be a bogey when it comes to the playoffs. They seem to kind of pull something out of their hat when it comes to playoff final weekend or playoffs weekend, playoff quarterfinals. Do you see we're going to see something like that this coming weekend against the Belfast Giants, Aaron?
I don't. You're absolutely right, man. I'm a stats guy. I do think it's going to be close, to be fair. But Belfast have won three of the last... Actually, my stats are wrong here. I've got down here is three wins for Belfast, three wins for Coventry, and one draw, which is the last six games. Can anyone see with a problem with my math there?
Math don't equal.
But no, I still think that the Belfast Giants are the last. Even if we just talk about current form. You mentioned there about the Giants playing this weekend. This weekend's or last weekend's games really give me hope for the Giants for the playoffs in general. I thought they played incredibly well against the Steelers, even the one that they unfortunately lost over in overtime. I appreciate that's talking about the Steelers, but I think that the Giants have had a really good turn of form over the last 10 games, winning at least six of them. Coventry have only won three games in the last 10 games in general. So I don't think that they have the run before at the moment.
Yeah. Nope, that's a fair point. The last matchup then, we'll see the, and this is the one I think is the difficult one to decide on. I think this is the one that I'm sitting here still thinking, who's going to take this one? The last matchup we'll see, the Manchester Storm take on the Guildford Flames. This is an interesting, this is fourth versus fifth in the league. I talked earlier when we were looking through how the teams ended, and I said about how Manchester really put together a really winning form in the last few games towards the end of the season and really pushed to end where they did in fourth. Do you guys think this is also a difficult choice to make in this one? My gut is telling me I would like to see Manchester make it through to the semi-final weekend. I wanted to see them at the playoff final weekend. I want to see Manchester there. We've seen Guildford there last year. Part of me would like to see Manchester there. Their fan base is great, crack as well, and they're always local. What's your thoughts on that? You should go with anyone different. John, let's go with you first.
No, I'm with you. I want to see Manchester, and I think Matt Ginn has earned the right to take a team through to playoff final weekend. He has quietly coached a blinder second half of the season. Manchester, I think, were one of the first teams to lock in their position, not so much to lock in playoffs, but Manchester and Guildford, I think, locked in that fourth and fifth position before, or guaranteed them before anything else. The top three were always going to be top three, but they knew their tie very, very early on, enough that they were announcing what their playoff schedule was before the rest of the matchups were even organised. So they knew what they were facing. Those two teams have had time to prepare. Now, Paul Dixon will be looking for a response from this season, from his players. They've managed to put a couple of results together towards the back end of the season when they look to be on a similar bit of a slide. People scratching their heads, wondering what's going on in Guildford. What's going on in the spectrum? But things seem to have settled. The ship has steadied. And it will be an incredibly tight series. But my gut says Manchester have enough in them to push that through. And the only thing I'll say about this is Manchester are not playing home advantage, if you like. They're playing first. They're playing the first game. They're playing for the gate. They're playing for the Saturday game. And we'll run through what the matchups are here in a second. But they're playing for the gate. They're playing for a big home crowd. I would be surprised if they don't sell out the Drizzle Dome for that one. And they'll be looking for a big result in front of that home crowd for playoffs, looking to book their ticket to playoff final weekend.
Yep. So potentially the last bracket there, the semi-finals, we might see from what I'm guessing together. Aaron, did I ask you your opinion on that?
I just talked for ages.
To be fair, when I was doing my notes, I actually had Guildford first time I'd done the pass, and then after I reviewed it again, I actually did change it to Manchester. Just solely going on the stats again, to be honest with you, though. If we look at them, Manchester, the last 10 games I've played in general, have won 6 of them. Guildford's only won 4. And if we look at their actual, the 6 games that they've played together, Manchester have won 4 of them. Guildford only taken 2 of the games. But one of those games was very recent in the last couple of weeks. So, but I'm with you guys. I think that it's going to be a tight one, similar to the previous one. But I think Manchester have it.
I definitely feel that this is the one that's going to be hard to call. So it'll be interesting to see. We obviously, this first podcast is looking at the quarterfinals. We'll come back next week for part two of the playoff podcast, and we'll look ahead at the semi-final matchups and actual playoff final weekend in general. And we'll get your thoughts then in relation to how things have kind of panned out from these coming weekend games. John, you were saying about the weekend games and how they're structured. So do you want to go run through those for us?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, we run through the schedule. So the quarterfinals begin tomorrow if you're watching live, or today if you're listening to the podcast on your podcast provider of choice when it releases tomorrow on Friday. With the Sheffield Steelers facing off against the Fife Flyers at home at Ice Sheffield at 7 o'clock. On Saturday, we see the Manchester Storm at home to the Guildford Flames, the Belfast Giants at home to the Coventry Blaze, and the Cardiff Devils at home to the Dundee Stars. All three games face off at 7 p.m. On Sunday the 14th, we'll see the return legs of all those first games. So the Sunday is where the business end is. That's where everything gets decided. The Dundee Stars will host the Cardiff Devils, and face off there is at 5 p.m. The Fife Flyers will host the Sheffield Steelers in the second leg, face off in Kirkcaldy is at 5:15. The Coventry Blaze host the Belfast Giants. That faces off at 5:30. And the Guildford Flames host the Manchester Storm at the Spectrum. Face off there is at 6 p.m. So it's quite interesting, guys, that that face offs are staggered on Sunday. Whether that's planned or not, I don't know. We've got one facing off every 15 minutes for three games, and then we get a half hour break before Guildford start at 6. So we're going to get results kind of drip fed to us probably over the space of, let's say, half an hour or so, which will be quite interesting as we go through, unless on the first round somebody gets absolutely gobbed and gets a slipper to the face. But really, really interesting sort of set up. 3 days of games over the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting one. I always like it when the games face off at the same time. So the Saturday games are always perfect because they all face off at 7 p.m.
I don't because for playoffs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So through the regular season, my flash scores is set up so that I get the ping every time the Giants score and every time the Nashville Predators score. However, for playoffs, what I tend to do is I'll select the top four. So I'll get all the goals and I'll get to know what's happening with all of them. But when they all face off at the same time, my watch never stops.
I
was on mute there. I just said, oh, boo-hoo. my watch is vibrating. I don't want them to play at the same time.
I'm fully aware of that.
There's something about in the arena. Granted, I'm not going to be in the arena this weekend, but there's something about being in the arena and hearing the mumbles as you go along. You know, you can hear the crowd starting to kind of like talk about, like, oh, it's like 3-2 in Sheffield or whatever. You know, you can hear the mumbles going on, and it's always really good. Especially playoff final week, playoffs. You know, when teams are still going, you're kind of wanting to know what's happening with the other team. You hear that constantly going on. So I do like it that way. So when it comes to Sunday and the fact that they have got staggered starts, it's a bit like, you know, well, we'll have to wait and see, you know, what's happening there. Yeah. I don't know.
And I don't see how 15 minutes is going to save your watch, John.
It depends how regularly teams are scoring as well.
I was going to say, it just means your watch is going to go for longer. We what else have we got now? What next have we got in our podcast running? Sorry, I'm completely.
Do you want to? How about we stick with what we've got on the slides? Do you want to have a look at? We obviously had some jerseys released over the last few days. I'm going to put my hands up right now. I put that post up on X earlier today asking the seven teams who I thought hadn't released jerseys. I clearly did all of my research because I got told by one team directly and by our most loyalist fan, Mark, in fact, two other teams had released jerseys. Unfortunately, we haven't had any more since then, but will we dive into the... ones that we've got, and then we'll have a discussion about how... Well, we're going to discuss it with the first one anyway, because Guildford Flames have pretty much just given the game away immediately. This was, what, two days ago? Was this Tuesday? The Guildford Flames released their playoff finals, playoff jerseys. So, guys, clearly, off the back of what we looked at before, Marty, I can't remember if you were on the podcast when we looked at the Elite League jersey that was released, or if that was the first one that that you missed.
Yeah.
Mark, once again to reiterate, our most loyalist fan, Mark, he made a point when we looked at that jersey and said, is this a sign of things to come? Clearly it was, and clearly Rhino can only design one set of graphics per season, because here we are once again with the Rhino playoff jerseys. This is the Guildford ones. Marty, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I know I missed the episode where you were talking about the design of the jersey and stuff. So yes, just a carbon copy of that Elite League one that the fans can buy. One thing I would say about the Elite League one was that I noticed was the design kind of made it look like it was almost like an ice rink. The way the colors were laid out, it was like blue line, red line, blue line kind of. It was kind of like the way the design looked like the ice itself. And the Elite League one made sense because it looked like, oh, this is a rink, this is the ice surface, this is the lines from in the game, and that's what it looked like. This one, interestingly, obviously they've just thrown in the colours for Guildford in the middle on the stripes and stuff. It looks clean, you know, it's a simple design jersey. And I guess the reason why they go for the same jersey for every single team and they only go for the one design is it's simple to make them quickly, and you know, it's just like, yeah, not much effort has to be put in, and they make money out of them anyway at the end of the day. You know, they sell for hundreds at the end of the day. So you know, people don't really care.
Or thousands if you're a Guildford fan.
Thousands. Yeah. But I think it's nice. I like their dark one. The dark jersey definitely looks lovely and it stands out, and I really like it. Although the colours do look a bit muted in the stripes.
That's the reason, Aaron, I'll come to you in a second, but that's exactly the reason why I'm a fan of the away jersey for Guildford more, because the coloured lines are too muted against that navy background. And I haven't had a proper look at the other ones that we're going to look at, but I'll tell you whether I think the same on the rest of them. But the away jersey, the colours pop better, and I think it looks a nicer jersey altogether. Aaron, your thoughts on Guildford before we move on to the next one?
I think as a whole, actually, I quite like the design in general. I appreciate that it is very simple, but I think that's what I like about it. And Marty, I didn't catch that about the original jersey, just the Elite League jersey, where you're talking about it being the colours on the ice. I thought that's a really good shout.
It may not be, but whenever I looked at it, it's the first thing that struck me, and it's the first thing I seen. I was like, I wonder if they're trying to go for that, because that's what it looked like in my head. I don't know. It may not have been, but
can we also just point out that there is some other detail in which I don't think comes out very well on the screen. You can see it slightly on the white jersey, but the little sort of triangle designs, which are almost make up like little hexagons, the way that they're laid out, you can't quite make them out just with the size that we've got here, but there is a little bit more design in these jerseys than what it appears to. Go and have a look at, if you're a Guildford fan, you've probably already seen it, because the rest of the league has been looking at them for 2 days waiting for their own teams to release them. We're all waiting with bated breath for the Glasgow Clan jerseys to drop just as soon as possible.
Yeah, go ahead. You move on, but I'll just mention that little design you're saying about. It does look like, for me, whenever I looked at the Elite League one, back to the Elite League original one, that's why I kind of thought it looked like netting, you know, from like a goalie's net. It looked like netting from that. And that's why I kind of thought about it. But anyway, move on. Let's go to the next one.
Yep, so the next one, the Dundee Stars, they unveiled theirs yesterday, on Wednesday of this week, as it turns out. I completely missed that, so apologies to the Dundee Stars for missing that one, and to Mark Lefebvre's men. It's pretty much the same. However, Marty, when you were talking about the blue lines and the red lines, because they've stuck to the Dundee Stars colours, which are obviously navy and red, it works this time, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it does work, definitely. The navy one, kind of, again, the two bottom lines do kind of get muted and kind of get lost. Those two grey lines, or whatever the colour they're supposed to be, kind of do get lost in that blue shirt. The white one does make it stand out and makes it pop. It looks clean again. It looks nice. Although that trademark logo in the middle, if that's the size of that sponsorship logo in the middle, it is huge. That's massive.
So this was a question I was going to ask on this jersey. Are these not usually title sponsor void, the playoff jerseys?
I think they always have them.
Do you still have the title sponsor and that's it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Right. Okay. Can I make one other comment on this, and something that frustrates the hell out of me, and I think it's going to be the same for all the jerseys, and it's just the fact we're seeing this on players. See those arm stripes not matching up with the stripes on the chest? Is that doing anyone else's OCD in?
Yeah.
Who forgot to measure the arms and where those lines were going to be after guys put like pads and everything on? The fact that, how long are these sleeves?
If you go back to the Coventry one, it lines up there.
You mean Guildford?
And the Guildford ones in the mock-ups.
It lines up in the mock-up, but then... Mm. And given that these are all from Rhino, my assumption is that that's going to drive me insane with all 10 strips. The fact that when people go to put them on, they're not going to line up.
For any player listening, please don't have your arms by your side anytime while John is watching you.
Every equipment manager needs to get the safety pins out and get those jerseys pinned up on the sleeves by about an inch and a half.
I don't think they're... You're saying about the Dundee one being... when you're talking about the blue compared to the Flames navy, I think they're pretty much the same when you say that the lines aren't popping. Like, Guildford have the white and the gold line. The only two colours that are popping there are red and white. It's the same in my eyes. I don't see the...
I mean, it's exactly the same design.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't see one being better than the other at this stage. It's just...
Yeah, I get what you mean, but
sorry,
the colours.
I think the red and white is the gilt. I actually prefer the Flames one because of the Hockey Station's logo being more muted.
When you look at title sponsor, that's why I hadn't even thought that Guildford had a title sponsor on, because I wasn't even paying attention to it. What they should have done is get rid of that box around trademark, and on the navy jersey, they should have got rid of the background.
Yep.
I would have been quite happy to see that box, the yellow box around the trademark on the navy jersey, if they just got rid of that white background.
Yep.
I think it's these little details are what's letting these down. We'll move on to the last one. Unfortunately, up till when I prepared this, the Manchester Storm haven't put out any still high-quality images of their jerseys. They've put on a video, so this is a really terrible screenshot of their jersey that I've had to put on. However, what I'm going to point out, remember I was talking about the arm bars? So these aren't on players, these are hanging on hangers. It still drops down. So it's clearly they're not going to line up at all.
No.
That's infuriating.
I wasn't expecting them to. We'll see these when they do come out. But yeah, same again, the same design as usual as the last one. So it'll be interesting to see what those colours do look like. Whenever we see the you know, outside of this weird blue ultraviolet light that's going on here. We'll be interested to see what they look like.
Aaron, any thoughts on the Storm jerseys?
No, pretty much the same as the last one. I think that the sponsorship logo is way too big on this one compared to the other two. That this one seems even bigger again.
But what I'll say is they've at least color matched.
Yeah, but there's
the Stars haven't.
See here in the logo size. Maybe it's just the way it looks. Like Guildford Flames logo looks. Their logo looks really small. Then you got.
It'll be down to what's provided by the title sponsor as well to Rhino. Rhino will be given a brief and they'll just prepare what's there. Fuzz, your comment there. I'm just going to throw this up. It looks like the designs could be the same for all teams this year. It is. That's pretty standard designs to be pretty much the same for everyone when we get to playoffs. It's the one time where all the teams are left with Rhino being their main producer. So you've got teams who are using multiple suppliers through the rest of the season. Some are using, I think, Jersey 53. Some using CCM. In the past, you've had the Giants using the likes of Kukri and whatever everyone else is using. I have absolutely no idea how Rhino have got their claws into the Elite League and get to every year make these playoff jerseys. My complaint with them all the time is they're still screen print and they're still awful.
They're not awful. They're not terrible. It's not the worst jersey I've ever seen in my life.
No, the worst I think Giants the worst jerseys we ever had were the Rhinos. Prove me wrong.
I don't know. Well,
Kukri were the wrong colour. Sorry, I didn't mean to swing that over there. Kukri were the wrong color. I get that. They were green. But quality-wise, with the screen printing and all the rest of it, Rhino were the worst quality jerseys.
Well, I think that's definitely a conversation
Warrior
for another
were the
time
best
because
quality
we could get into that a lot. I don't know. I think there's a lot of arguments around who is best and which ones were best. And I think that definitely is an argument for another time. Guys, I'm very aware that we said this would be a short one and I need to run off again in a few minutes. So let's just finish off this podcast for this week with one last piece just to remind people. For anybody who didn't see it, the Elite League put out a call, shall we say, to remind people that they're this week for the playoff final weekend, they will be doing a in memoriam remembrance moment at the playoff final weekend, which will see the submitted names of loved ones who have passed away over the last 12 months celebrated as part of featured on the big screen as part of a celebration memoriam and also in the official program. So just a quick reminder, if there's anybody out there who's listening to the podcast who did want to add someone or wanted to put someone forward for that, there is a form on the official Elite League website and all of those have to be submitted by 5 p.m. this coming Sunday, the 14th of April. So make sure that you get them in if you did want to include someone for that memoriam moment for playoff finals weekend. Guys, that's it for this week. As I say, we just want to do a quick one for the quarterfinals. We'll come back next week and we'll look at the semifinals and we can have a chat about a few other bits and pieces. There was a part around the merchandise that I wanted to chat about, but we'll talk about that next week.
Let's save that.
Let's save that for next week because there's a doozy of a thing in there that I was kind of querying and I was kind of wondering. But we'll talk about that next week. So I'll hold on to that thought and we'll talk about it next week. Boys, do you have anything else for the quarterfinals before we sign off?
Nope.
Good to have you back, buddy.
Great. Thank you very much. I will hopefully be back to normality next week and not as scatterbrained as I am today, and everything will be working properly and I'll have my words back. Thank you for bearing with us this week and my technical issues in the middle. But before that, what we'll do is we'll sign off for this week. As usual, you can get this podcast on your provider of choice, whatever that might be. We can also watch back on YouTube, follow on our YouTube channel, leave us reviews, all that good stuff. It'd be really helpful for us in the long run for the algorithm and all that good old stuff. Check out this podcast and all the other podcasts on our usual on our website at Door14Hockey. Check out all our social medias we're on all social media channels, Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, John, thank you, at Door14Hockey. So do get involved with the chat. Let us know what your thoughts and feelings are about this coming quarterfinals weekend and also your thoughts on the playoff final weekend for next week's podcast. With that, we will sign off. I'm Marty.
I'm John.
I'm Aaron.
Have a great week.